there is an element out there beyond what we can physically see. See, I believe there's a physical and a spiritual world. I believe that we can see and touch and hear those around us right now, right? So if you're sitting next to the person next to you, just turn to the person on your right and poke them on the shoulder and see if they're there, right? All right, now the person that just got poked, you turn to the other one, punch him in the face. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I'm not running for president. Just kidding. Okay. So if you got somebody next to you, they're real, right? You can feel them. You can touch them. You know that they're real. They're beside you. Now, the supernatural is a little harder to describe because the spiritual, the supernatural elements of God, it's there, but we don't always see it. Sometimes God is doing stuff behind the scenes that we never even know about to work to make a difference for us. Sometimes God is working in your life and you don't even know it, but there are people praying for you for hope, for encouragement to get you through a dark time. And my hope today is that as you leave here today, you will want to lean more on the supernatural. That you'll want to believe God for the impossible. That you'll want to realize that the physical that we have, going to work every day, punching the clock, talking to people around you, struggling with paying the bills, that is just a small part of the larger, more important part, and that is the spiritual world, the supernatural world, what God wants to do. Now, in this passage, we're going to look at a supernatural experience with a guy named Elisha. And Elisha understood the supernatural world probably better than us. Elijah was a prophet of God, and God would give special gifts to these prophets. Some of them could see into the future. Some of them could do miracles like the time of Christ. Some of them had the boldness to preach and to speak against kings and even nations. And Elijah was one of those major prophets that could do those kind of things. Now, as we talk about supernatural, my first thought was, how could I help you understand that there is a supernatural? So I thought the first thing we would do is to establish that there is a supernatural. So I want to first start by saying, how many of you in here have ever had a time where you sensed that God was speaking to your heart? Just raise your hand high. That you felt like God was nudging you to do something. Look around. See all those hands going up, okay? Now, how many of you have ever actually heard the voice? Keep those hands up. I want to add to it. How many of you have heard the voice of God? If you've heard the voice of God, raise your hand. Okay? Keep them up. Keep them up for those that had them for the first time. Now, how many of you have ever been in a worship service or something where you said, man, I sense the presence of the Lord in this experience? Anybody? Okay. So, a large percent. So, I want you to know, you're not crazy if you sense that God is speaking to your heart. You're not crazy if you walk out of here this morning going, you know, there was something different. It seemed like God was like speaking to me. I have found that if I will be open to what God wants to say, and I will listen for His voice, that He will speak to me more often than I even want to hear it sometimes. Because usually what He speaks to me about is the poor decisions I'm making. And I'm going, Lord, if you want me to part the Red Sea, or if you want me to plant churches in Asia, and the Lord's like, just go home and wash the dishes for your wife, you know? It's like, that is not exciting. And so sometimes I'm praying, Lord, I want the supernatural. And the Lord goes, well, you can start the supernatural by doing the natural, okay, by doing what's in front of you, right? Okay, so Elisha, we'll pick it up right here in 2 Kings chapter 6, says this. It says, verse 8, when the king of Aram was at war with Israel, he would confer with his officers and say, we will mobilize our forces at such and such a place. But immediately Elisha, the man of God, would warn the king of Israel, do not go near that place, for the Arameans are planning to mobilize their troops there. So the king of Israel would send word to the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he would be on the alert there. The king of Aram became very upset over this. He called his officers together and demanded, which of you is a traitor? Who has been informing the king of Israel of my plans? It is not us, my lord and king, one of the officers replied. Elisha, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom. Go and find out where he is, the king commanded, so I can send troops to seize him. And the report came back. Elisha is at Dothan. So one night the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots to surround the city. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside. There were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. "Oh, sir, what will we do now?" the young man cried to Elisha. "Don't be afraid," Elisha told him, "for there are more on our side than on theirs." I'm sure at that point the young guy was going, "You are an old blind man," because he didn't see anybody on his side. Then Elisha prayed in verse 17, "O Lord, open his eyes and let him see." The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw the hillside around Elisha was covered with horses and chariots of fire. Let's pray. Lord, sometimes we are surrounded with discouragement, doubt, fears, depression, brokenness. And all we can see are all those chariots on the hills around us. Lord, I pray that today you would open our eyes into the hills and we would see your supernatural chariots. We would see your supernatural horsemen. We would see that you are at work among us and around us and in us to bring hope in this world. And I pray that your Spirit would supernaturally speak to us all today, refreshing us and sensing that you are walking with us through all the valleys. Pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, if you have your listening guide, go ahead and pull that out. Pull out your listening guide. Everybody in the program today, there's a listening guide you can follow along. And there's just a couple things there, three things I'm going to point out. And the first one is that there are two worlds we live in, the physical and the spiritual world. That we oftentimes just think of the physical, what we can see, hear, feel, and touch, but the spiritual is reality. The spiritual is what God is doing that we cannot see, or even what the devil is doing that we cannot see. Let me ask this question. We had a large number of people say they have experienced the supernatural power of God. How many of you have ever experienced supernatural evil, where you just feel like at one point that something evil is just surrounding you, you feel darkness? Man, I'll share next week about that. For me, there have been a couple of times in my life where I just sensed that the devil was literally out to get me, like physically, and we'll talk about that next week. But I believe that there is supernatural good and supernatural evil. We're not talking Star Wars here, but we are talking God and the devil. Matter of fact, in the Bible, you might want to write these numbers down. Satan is mentioned 61 times in the Bible. So if you think it's just something that a pastor made up somewhere along the way, nope, 61 times Satan is listed in the Bible. Angels are mentioned 273 times. So a lot more angels mentioned. Matter of fact, three of them are given names. There's Gabriel, there's Michael, and then Lucifer, who was Satan when he was in heaven as an angel before he fell. Hell is listed 32 times. 32 times we are warned of hell, but 582 times we're reminded of the hope of heaven. Now, how many of you have ever been to heaven? I mean, you ever seen it? You ever been there? You know the address? One of my kids asked me that, "Dad, where's heaven?" Well, that's a good question, because it's supernatural. Well, Dad, is hell like in the dirt? If I start digging, is it going to start getting hot? You know? What about heaven? Where is this place called heaven? I mean, we've got these Hubble telescopes now. We can see all over galaxies and the universe, and we can see these multiple universes, galaxies, planets, all over the place. But we haven't found one that's the address is heaven. But we believe it to be true. The Bible lists it. It's a supernatural understanding that we can't see, feel, touch. But I would tell you it's real. I would tell you it's real more. My experience is more than just what Scripture says, because I've been on the bedsides of people when they died. Been on a lot of people's bedsides when they died that were believers in Christ. And seeing the hope and the smile on their face, and even calling the names of loved ones that had died before them and start talking to them and having conversations. It's pretty wild. And I would just tell you, that's the reality of heaven. I just can't tell you where the address is. But I would tell you that the supernatural and the spiritual are even more important than the physical. They're both real. They're both important. But what I hope to challenge you today is to look at the physical, everyday life, through the eyes of the spiritual. Okay, so I posted on Facebook this week about the craziness of the last 10 days. And over the last 10 days, we've had somebody try to successfully scale the fence at the White House. Another individual brought a gun to the area and was shot, and he's in the hospital, critical condition. Egyptian airliner blown up over the Mediterranean. Foul play is expected. And then in our own community, we get for those that are part of the school system, you got a text from Jerry Boyd a week ago talking about this new directive coming down from the federal government, where the federal government is, through the Department of Justice and Department of Education, decreed that all public bathrooms in schools will now be open to either gender based on what the gender that person chooses in their life. And so, I mean, the firestorm on Facebook, the firestorm in conversations I'm having, it's everywhere, right? And you could pick any one of these, but how do you look at these through supernatural eyes? Because when I look at them through the flesh, I start going, man, this is a crazy world. You can't get on an airplane without wondering, is it going to fly or is it going to be exploded? You can't go downtown in many countries without wondering if a suicide bomber is going to be sent out. In our community, my son is in the Marines, and someone in his platoon left and went out on the town for a night and was shot and killed. Just totally random. How do you live without fear in the midst of all this chaos? I tell you, there's only one way. It's believing in the supernatural. It's realizing that God is bigger than us, and I don't understand how he works everything in the background. I don't understand how he figures it all out, but I do believe that he is working all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. But guess what? Sometimes the good of those who love him are called according to his purpose is for us to suffer. Can you believe that? You know, sometimes we got to suffer a little bit to work through the issues that we have. Because without pain, I don't change. Anybody relate to that? Without pain, you don't change. And sometimes there's some bitterness in my heart. Sometimes I've had some unforgiveness in my heart. Years ago, I had a broken relationship with my father. And the Spirit of God told me to go and ask forgiveness for my bitterness and for hating him. But I didn't want to. My dad's not a believer in Christ. And I wanted him to come to know Jesus, but I also wanted him to be the first to apologize. You ever been there? It's like, well, he's older than me. He should apologize first, right? Because he's older. And of course, I'm the Christian, so it's kind of a no-brainer, right? And we struggled in that bitterness for a couple of years until one day, I'll never forget it. It was like yesterday. I get in the truck with my dad. I close the door. I was about 21. And my dad just looks at me and said, Steve, are you a Christian? Okay, now understand, I've already been in ministry 2 years at that point. So he wasn't asking for clarification. He knew the answer of at least what I spoke. I said, well, Dad, you know I'm a Christian. Why do you ask? He said, well, if you're a Christian, why won't you forgive me? At that point, I wanted to punch him in the face, right? I was like, oh, yeah. But I can't, right? Because I know he's right. But you see, I had to get taken to the woodshed by the Holy Spirit on that. The Lord nudged me 101 times before then to repent and ask forgiveness and to move on. But 101 times before that, I said, no, I got a right to be angry. I'm going to carry this grudge. See, the devil wants to keep all our relationships broken. He wants to break your marriage. He wants to break your relationship with your kids. He wants to destroy the hope that you have. He wants to crush you. And the only hope we have against that is the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But sometimes he's got to speak truth in a painful way, doesn't he? Sometimes he's got to take us to the woodshed. Well, I want you to see that the supernatural is real. So how do we respond when these things come up? We respond in the way of the Lord. I'm just going to pick the one about the bathrooms. Very sensitive subject. Very sensitive subject. Boy, I tell you what, the firestorm across Facebook. I brought this to my men's group on Tuesday morning. I said, guys, how do we respond to this? As men of God, how do we respond? Well, we know the first thing is in love. In all things we do in love. Now, I don't agree with everybody in this room about probably anything. Matter of fact, my wife and I, you put us on stage on about 10 of the hot topics, we'd probably be in different places on a lot of them. But I know in all things I can show love. So the first thing I know, if we're going to deal with this through the spiritual eyes, in all things we're going to show love. Now, I also believe that if our conscience is moved by the Holy Spirit, we're not called to do nothing. There's usually two extremes that happen. The first extreme is to do nothing, to be apathetic, and just let the whole world do whatever it wants to do and come crushing in around us and then whine and complain and bellyache about it, but not do anything to take action and speak out. The second extreme is to go crazy and start showing anger and speaking out in anger. One of the videos I saw was a lady walking through Target. I don't know if you got sent that one. She's walking through Target with her Bible in her hand, and she's screaming at all the workers, you know, about the evil of Target. Target had the first transgender bathroom thing going on, and she's screaming at them. And I'm like, number one, those poor people that worked there did not make that decision. I'm pretty sure at $9.50 an hour, they did not decide the bathroom policy for all of Target, right? Number two, you've just said to all the people, they're right, that we're just a bunch of intolerant people that are just angry and that's our problem. Now, having said that, I can't say that what she did wasn't from God, because if you look at some of the Old Testament prophets like Elijah, they had some pretty crazy things they did. So I'm not here to place judgment. I'm just saying, for me, I don't see how that lines up with the first command of Jesus to love one another as Christ has loved us. So what routes do we have to go? Well, we go the route that God gives us, whatever that is. Through supernatural life, we begin to pray. And I'll talk more about the supernatural battle next week. But the first thing I told our men is we need to pray and ask God, God, what's our steps? And then as I began to pray, I felt led to call some folks. Called our superintendent of schools and texted him and just kind of told him I was praying for him. And he thanked us. And then I called the, I had somebody call the sheriff's department and say, what's our law going to be in Cookeville? And they said the law is still men and men's, women and women's. I called my state representative. Matter of fact, put that up there for me if you would. Got it. Ryan Williams, our state representative for this area. And I called Ryan and said, Ryan, what's the story? And Ryan said his goal is to pass a bathroom bill that would make it fair and good for everybody. And so I said, well, I'm just concerned. I'm not okay. I personally, Steve Taboo, am not okay if my daughter goes to Cookeville High School for an event that a 52-year-old man who that day identifies himself as a woman goes in the bathroom with her to use the same facility. Not okay with that. I understand that's not the transgender scenario. I get it. But I just know anytime you allow folks to make a decision of that nature, that there will be those who will take that as an opportunity. And so I'm not okay with that. And as I talked to Ryan Williams about it, he agreed. He's all for it. He said, but Steve, what I need is I need for people to voice their personal decisions, what they think is right. I need them to let me know that. And I would ask you, how many of you have contacted your local rep? How many of you have contacted either he or Paul Bailey or anybody? We live in a country that we are given civil ways to address things that we don't agree with. And yet so many times we remain silent. We choose instead to whine and complain and bellyache about it in our homes and with other people instead of using the opportunities that we have to speak in a civil and a godly manner. And so I would say to you, instead of posting your opinion on Facebook or instead of ripping into somebody that you disagree with or trying to start an antagonistic conversation, I would challenge you to pray and let your heart be known to those that can do something about it. Well, the spiritual is more important than the physical. You see, the fact that the plane exploded is horrible. But there are spiritual forces that are going on that are so much more is at stake than a plane or a bathroom or anything else going on. You see, the Bible says that the devil roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We're in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle day in and day out. And we've got a choice to make. Are we going to participate in the battle by prayer? And I'm almost giving away my sermon for next week. Show up next week. Okay. Are we going to participate in the battle? Or are we going to sit back and be apathetic and just let everything around us make the decisions for us? You see, I believe God put inside of us, all of us, a desire for this place to be better than it is. I want to leave this world a better place than for my kids than I found it. I want to make a difference to see my kids have a safer environment than what I had when I was growing up. I want to see my kids live in a community where Jesus is glorified and people are like, yes, I love being here because people treat each other with respect even when they disagree. My heart is that everybody in here would so connect with Jesus Christ and the relationship and forgiveness and mercy and grace that when people come into Cookeville, Tennessee, they go, there is something different in this city than anywhere else I've ever been. I read an article this last week in the paper as a lady from, I don't want to say she's from Kansas, and she wrote an article of thank you. She said, I just want to thank the community of Cookeville. I've never been in such a welcoming place. She broke down on the side of the road. The guy that came by to help her, somebody came by to help her. Then the wrecker came by and towed her. And then the wrecker man said, look, I can take you wherever you need. I think he took her to the hotel. The people in the hotel helped her out. She was just bragging on how many people in this community were so kind and so friendly and so welcoming to her, to somebody they'd never met before. And isn't that what we want to be known for? Versus the video that you may have seen of the guy who was run over by the taxi cab and run over by a second one because nobody chose to even drag him out of the street. It's like, when are we going to choose to make a difference? Well, I believe the second thing is the spiritual is more important than the physical. In this story, it's pretty funny. Go ahead and flip down to verse 18. I'm going to read from there. It says, as the Aramean army advanced towards him, Elisha prayed, O Lord, please make them blind. So the Lord struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Then Elijah went out and told them, you have come the wrong way. This isn't the right city. Follow me, and I will take you to the man you are looking for. And he led them to the city of Samaria. As soon as they had entered Samaria, Elisha prayed, O Lord, now open their eyes and let them see. So the Lord opened their eyes, and they discovered that they were in the middle of Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he shouted to Elisha, my father, should I kill them? Should I kill them? Of course not, Elisha replied. Do we kill prisoners of war? Give them food and drink and send them home again to their master. So the king made a great feast for them and then sent them home to their master. After that, the Aramean raiders stayed away from the land of Israel. What a cool picture. Here the supernatural trumps the natural. God blinds the people. Elisha leads them basically to be surrounded by the armies of Israel, where they will quickly have the opportunity to be destroyed. The king says, Elisha, should I destroy them? Just makes sense, right? Get rid of your enemies. But instead, what did Elisha do? He called for mercy. He called for grace. What if you have the privilege, the opportunity, the moment in your hand to crush your enemy at work? The one that's always backstabbed you. The one that's always tried to get a step above you and ruin your career. What if you have that moment to crush them and they ask for forgiveness? What do you do? Can you show them mercy? What about that child that has lied to you year in and year out, said they're going to change this time, they're going to change this time, they're going to change this time? And once again, they've stolen something out of your house to sell. But they genuinely come back wanting forgiveness. Can you show grace one more time? I love it when the disciples asked Jesus, they said, Jesus, how many times should we forgive? Is it seven times? They thought they were doing really good because the Jewish law didn't require you to forgive that many times. Jesus says, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven. And oh, by the way, he wasn't telling him to keep count. He was telling him just forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, show grace and forgiveness. Now, that doesn't mean we're called to enable people. Okay? There's a difference. But it does mean we're called to forgive. Well, in this story, the spiritual was more important. The decision that Elisha made to pray for them, to pray to God that he would blind them. The spiritual decision he made to forgive them. And what's pretty awesome is in the end, it says, after that, the Aramean raiders stayed away from the land of Israel. Basically, they decided, you know what? These guys, they show kindness to us. Let's go kill somebody else in another state. I mean, maybe they got nice and didn't kill anybody else anymore, but I doubt it. Well, the third thing is we must live for the spiritual more than the physical. Turn over to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Jesus is talking to the crowds, and he's trying to explain to them what it means to be a follower of his. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 to 38. He's throwing out a pretty hard directive. And he's challenging them that if they want to follow him, what it will look like. And basically, he's telling them, you must live for the spiritual more than the physical. Because Jesus knows that the physical is going to really stink for them coming up soon. I don't know if you know it, but 11 of the 12 disciples, well, 10 of the 11 that were left outside of Judas, 10 of the 11 were killed for their faith. The other one was boiled, they thought, to death, but he survived. Wrote the book of Revelation. So when he's inviting people to follow him, he's realizing that if they do, they got to realize that the spiritual is more important than the physical, because physically they're going to get the stink beat out of them. Physically, it's going to be a hard life to follow him. Physically, there's going to be a lot of hours and days and years in prison. Physically, there's going to be a lot of beatings. A lot of family members rejecting him. Here's what he says in Mark 8, 34. He says, then calling the crowd to join his disciples, Jesus said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, and you will be rich beyond measure. You'll have billions of dollars, cool Miami oceanfront properties, and you'll never get sick. Nobody will ever bug you about it. And you'll be rewarded daily at work because you have faith. Is that what it says? No. So quit believing that baloney. Okay? Here's what he says. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? If anything is worth more than your soul, if anyone is ashamed of me and my message in this adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Wow. Jesus doesn't give you any gray area here. He doesn't say, you know, as long as you just are nice and you go to church, we're good. No, he's saying, listen, you want to follow me? You need to take up your cross daily and follow me. You want to follow me? It's going to be painful. You need to be ready. You want to follow me? You've got to give up your own way. You know what my own way is? Selfishness. It's all about me. I could write a song. It's all about Steve. Woo, you know? I mean, if I had it my way, if I wasn't a follower of Christ, it would be all about me. Because that's where the world... I find my happiness and my pleasure. That's where the world tells me I will be happiest, is if I give my life all to me. I have heard so many people tell me, well, Steve, I've just got to take care of myself first. I got to put me first. I'm just telling you, that is not what Jesus said. Jesus says to put him first in all things and to surrender all of our life to him. Now, I will say this. If you do that, he does promise that we can rejoice in the Lord always, despite our circumstances. I could tell you that I haven't had the easiest life, but I've had a great life, and I've learned to be, as Paul says, happy when I got a lot, happy when I got little. Because my happiness, my joy is not based on my current circumstance, but it's based on who I walk with each day. It's based on the supernatural, that I know that this world is not the end. I was talking to a sister this morning, and she was sharing with me that last Sunday, she was having a horrible morning. Y'all may know Laura Perryman. She asked me to share this story with you. She said, last Sunday I was having such a bad day. I came into church and she said, I was crying and I didn't want to be here. It's one of those where you're just so hurt and frustrated and the devil's getting a hold of you and you just want to throw in the towel. She said, you know what? I just wanted to go home and be alone. She said, but I came in anyway. And she said, I sat my Bible down and she said, I was struggling and I didn't want to stay. And she said, I picked my Bible up, and this was on the seat. Can you show me that picture? Little starfish with the word joy on it. She said, as I picked my Bible up, there's this little starfish. She said, now you have to understand why this is significant. She said, if it had been a heart, she said, it probably wouldn't have meant anything to me, because she said, I don't really like hearts. She said, but I'm from California, and I love starfish. She said, so when I saw the starfish, it caught my attention. And then I saw the word joy, and she said, I just felt like the Lord was saying to me, I'm with you. I've not forgotten you. I'm here. And she said, at that moment, it was like the Lord loving on her and restoring her hope and her joy. Now, a lot of folks would say that's just a coincidence. Some little kid dropped their little starfish that said joy, and they should have picked it up. They were littering, bad litter bug, you know. That's what some people would say. But I would say to you, no, I say that too many times we look for the physical instead of the spiritual. We look for the natural instead of the supernatural. I want to say to you that Jesus Christ is real, the spiritual is real, the supernatural is real, and in your life you need to be praying and asking God for the supernatural in your life. For some of you today, you need to be praying and asking God for supernatural in your workplace because you're ready to give up. Maybe it's darkness all around you. Maybe you're the only follower of Christ in your situation. But let me tell you, do not give up. You are the light of the world, Jesus said. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You could be the difference maker in your family. Maybe you're the only one. In my family, it was me and one other cousin. We had like 41 cousins. My mom had 12 siblings. Big family. When we go to Christmas, I mean, it's like wall-to-wall people. And we were the first two to come to Christ in our family. And I remember when the Spirit of God said, I want you to tell the Christmas story. And I was like, bad idea. You know, I was like 18 years old. I was like, nobody wants to. Everybody just wants to open the presents on Christmas Eve. And I felt like the Lord just said, tell the Christmas story. And I did. And it was awkward. It was uncomfortable. I sweated like crazy. But it was amazing how many people came and said, oh, that was nice. I'm glad you did that. I was like, really? After the words that just came out of your mouth? Really? But you know what? There's a hunger, I believe, in all folks for the supernatural. I believe there's a hunger in the world for the supernatural. I believe that's why there's so many fakes on TV trying to create the supernatural. Because there's a hunger for all of us to see the supernatural work of God. You know what I think the greatest work of God is? When he took up my messed up, sinful heart at the age of 17, and he washed all my sins away. That was the most supernatural things he could have done for me. He forgave me for being selfish a gazillion times over, and he began to set my feet on solid ground. That's the most supernatural thing God can do in this world, because our hearts are deceitfully evil, leaning towards selfishness, bitterness, and unforgiveness. And God, in his supernatural love, leads us to love, forgive, to serve others. That's supernatural. I want to ask you if you would to bow your head with me for a moment. I believe today that in this room, there are folks that you're here and God is saying to you today, be my disciple. Trust me. I believe there are people here today that God is supernatural speaking to you right now, saying, today is your day to put that bitterness behind you. Today is the day to ask God for mercy and forgiveness and grace. If God is speaking to you right now, saying today is your day for salvation, today is the day to ask forgiveness and experience mercy and forgiveness and grace through the cross of Christ, then I want to invite you today to pray this prayer to the Lord and to yourself following after me. Dear Heavenly Father, today I want your supernatural. God, I need your love. I ask that you would wash away all my sins. Pray that you would make me new. I confess Jesus Christ now as my Savior and Lord. And I pray that you'd give me eyes to see you at work all around me. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.